Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion there, and there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's go all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28. So we're going to try make this teaching the last teaching for the series, Local Church, for now, and probably pick it up in another couple days, weeks, months, or years. Okay, so we would have a question and answer session on Sunday. So you get your questions ready. We've had a long series. We started this series January. In fact, we started this series December, where we had the joint meeting with the Nigerian church as well. So it's prolonged into August, into January, February, March. Now we're in April, and the month is coming to an end. So as much as possible, if you have questions that you think we haven't tackled in this first part of the Local Church series, feel free to, you know, come with them on Sunday, and we will just dive into them. Okay, well, look at Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Look at that quite carefully. Okay, so Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now we said over time that the word power is the word authority. Okay, so all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says something in verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right, look at that carefully one more time. It says, teach them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now it says teaching them to observe. So the emphasis is on teaching, right? Discipling, right? So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right? So we said that post-resurrection, that is after the resurrection, you can summarize the instructions and the teachings that Jesus would have given his disciples in these two, three verses. So power given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach. So in that authority, go ye therefore and teach. Now we said the word there, teach, is what that means or means by extension, means rather to make disciples. Okay, so he says, and teach all nations, and what they teach is to make disciples, that is, train in a certain format, train in a particular way, right? And we said that that's God's will on the earth, that men are trained disciples so they can disciple others. If you go back to chapter 16 of the same book of Matthew, Matthew 16 verse 13, quickly, go all the way to Matthew 16 verse 13, quickly, he says, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art Elias rather, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Right? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Right? Look at that carefully. Right, blessed thou, Simon Barjona, right, for flesh and blood, that's Matthew 16, 17, right, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, right, so and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, we did a series last week, Navigating Your Bible. We tried to look at what the word prevail there means, and we just said that's the word withstand, right, or prevent from, okay? So, and the gates of hell, you said hell, Hades, you know, Sheol, and we said that's about the narrative around, you know, the land of the dead and all those things. So, it says shall not prevail against it. So, we said that Jesus is building a church, and whilst we can see it as a finished work, is both a finished and an ongoing work. And we said the word their church is the word ecclesia, right? And we said ecclesia is the word that means a people who are called out, right? People who are called out and called into. So ecclesia speaks about those who are called out then by extension called into Colossians make you see we have called out of darkness and we're coming into the kingdom of his dear son, right? And Peter will let you see that we've come into the marvelous light of the Lord, right? So we've been called out. So in fact the summary of the ministry of Jesus is to call people out. Okay, so it's to call people out. So we said that God is building a people and he calls it my church. Now we said the church is a called out people. In this series, we've emphatically emphasized on the difference between the universal church and the local church. Are we together, right? So we said the universal church makes up or is made up of the everyone who believes in the resurrection, right? Everyone who believes in the work of Jesus. Yeah, so everyone who believes in the work of Jesus, by extension, everyone who has accepted Jesus into their lives, you know, and, you know, what the average world will call give your life to Jesus. But, you know, it's important that we don't just go with normal nomenclatures of words or use words carelessly, you know, and why people, you know, say things like, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come out. Yes, we understand the doctrine behind it. You didn't have a life. Yes, Jesus gives you his life. You know, but there's something actually called giving your life to Jesus, right? There's something called giving your life to Jesus. And there's nothing wrong in fact, the saint is to give their life to Jesus, right? So what that really means is the saint receives the life of God. I remember I've come to give the thief come, John 10:10. Thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, but I have come to give you life that you may have it abundantly. And we said, you know, that life abundantly is sufficient life, the eternal life that God gives. So God is a good shepherd in the real sense by Christ Jesus who gives his life. So as believers, we receive of his life. Or as men who are believers, we are those who have received of his life. Then there's something called giving our lives, right? So if you look at Matthew's Gospel 16, okay, verse 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. The giving unto you the keys of the kingdom, that is authority, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, whatever you loose shall be loosed. And we said that's really about the preaching of the gospel. You know, so it particularly, you must see that concept as that is the effort that the believer must do or give, right? In what we can summarize as the giving of the life, right? So you are giving your life to the things of Jesus, giving your life to the things of God. Right, so it means that when we receive his life, we are members of his church. Then because we're members of his church, we partake in local churches, right? Then we give our lives in the local churches. Are you getting the point? Do you understand the point, right? So we receive his life, then we now make his life our life, then we give our life, you understand, we make his life our life, then we give our life, give our attention span, give our concentration, give our emotions, our energy, giving all the things, you know, that we have to things divine, giving ourselves to the things of God in the local church. Yeah, like I've told you before, God's order is the local church. His order, his plan, his goal is that men come into the universal church and become groomed and trained and discipled in the local church. Altogether, over the past few weeks, we also looked at, you know, God's order in the local church as, you know, and the order of structure that God places in the local church. And we said that God makes or gives that order of what you call the leaders and the members, so to say, for lack of better words, leaders and followers. You understand? You know, a lot of times people just, you know, want to just get extra, you know, extra curricular, extra biblical, and start saying things like, oh, you know, we don't follow men, we just follow Jesus. We follow Jesus directly. You know, don't follow anybody. Just follow Christ. You know, well, in the real sense, even those that say don't follow anybody, just follow Christ, it's somebody else they are following. Do you understand the point? You know, so in the real sense, God has designed the structure of the Christian faith that men are to follow and men are to be followed. It's God's will, it's God's wisdom. So we looked a couple weeks ago at the teaching around who's your pastor to you, what's the role of your pastor, what responsibility or duties of the pastor have in your life, or what's expected. Now today, I just want to touch on something very important to help you as well as a saint or as a servant in the local church. You know, if you look at Philippians chapter 2 carefully, look at Philippians 2:19. Philippians chapter 2 verse 19. Yes, we know who your pastor is, you know, but there's such a thing as, you know, certain things that are expected from you as a believer within the local assembly, right? Within the local church, and what exactly is your attitude? What should be your attitude? If you look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, Philippians 2:19. Look at Philippians 2:17 quickly. Philippians 2:17. Yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord also, or I trust in the Lord Jesus rather, to send Timothy. So Paul says to the Philippians, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So it means Timothy was one that Paul was going to send to the Philippians to do a temperature check altogether. And Paul says that when he hears from Timothy, he would be of good comfort. Right? So he says, I'll send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I hear or know your state. Look at verse 20. For I have no mind like-minded. Now that's very important to know. That's a heavy statement to make on another human being. Okay? So Paul will say, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What is statement about Timothy? He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Look at 21. It says, for all seek their own. That means when it says all, it's not saying all men. It's saying others, really. Or some, a better way to look at that, right? And for some seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. Look at that carefully. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son, so Timothy was a son to Paul. Altogether, you see, when it comes to the Christian conversation, right, there's such a thing called leadership, and there's such a thing called followership. There's such a thing called fatherhood, and there's such a thing called sonship, right? It's explicitly taught across scriptures, okay? So you will see that Paul will say that Timothy is a son. Altogether, you see, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. So we know sonship by the level and the level of commitment and service that is given in the gospel. Did you see that? Right. So you see, sonship is not this Paul and Timothy's sonship and fatherhood is not a conversation that stems from a place of, oh, I want to be your father. I want to be your spiritual father. Or to Timothy to Paul say, I want to be your spiritual son. Right? You know, God asked me to be your father, or God asked me to be your son. Well, and all of those narratives, that's not it, yeah. You see, Paul will be able to say this thing about Timothy being his son because he has seen the extent of service that Timothy has supplied, right, in the ministerial life of Paul. Did you see what I just said? Right? So you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust also in the Lord that I also myself. So Paul ideally will say, I want to be with you. But since I can't be with you, there is a Timothy I trust that when I send Timothy to you, he would be what? He will know your state, and from then I can be of good comfort. Are you seeing that carefully? Right? So he's saying that for Timothy, right? In the real sense, there's such a thing about Timothy that his mind is so unique, fixed and hinged on the things regarding the gospel. That's why he says, I have no man like-minded. What a statement to make about Timothy. Do you understand? So there's Timothy, who Paul will say, I have no mind like-minded, right? And we'll see some other examples. Paul will say to Timothy, right? I have a Timothy. Altogether, I have a Timothy. Look at verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier. So the way Timothy is also someone who is giving to service in the gospel, he says, I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Altogether. So there's another example of one called Epaphroditus. So there's Epaphroditus, there is Timothy. Okay, there's Epaphroditus. So what he says, go back to verse 23. Emphasis is on Timothy today, you know, and 22. But you know, now if you follow this series for a while, you realize we got to the point where Paul and Timothy met. Remember that Paul and Timothy conversation, Derbe, Lystra, and all those conversations after John Mark came into, you know, caused that rift, or let's say differently, Paul and Barnabas will split or go their separate ways on account of the conversation around John Mark and who to go with and who not to go with, you know, and also also you now see that Paul will now be found with Silas, by extension they will find Timothy. Yeah, you follow that series, right? Yeah, so Timothy, Paul will say about Timothy, he proved that, he says verse 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father he had served with me in the gospel. So it means that Timothy was one, or as an example of a proof of someone that follows and follows well altogether. So there's a thing called leadership, but there's a thing called followership. Altogether, are you with me? There's such a thing called leadership. There's such a thing called followership. I'll say that one more time. There's such a thing called leadership, but there's such a thing called followership, right? So in the real sense, it is God's method in the local assembly that men are to follow men. You understand that? Yeah, we don't follow men who follow Jesus directly. We follow men who follow men. Did you see what I just said? Right? We follow men who follow Jesus, and their way of following Jesus is by following men who follow men that follow Jesus. Do you get a point? Right? So as a person, I follow a man, for instance, who followed another man. You see the cycle altogether. So you as yourself as well, you'll be a follower of somebody who follows another man. So one of the very good ways to know, or one of the things you must understand, is that it's God's method and God's will in the local assembly, is that men are to be followers of other men. You see, and it's nothing to shy about, really. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. It's God's wisdom, is God's method. You understand that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Look at that carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. I hope you're there. So Paul says that Timothy follows well. You understand that? See, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Yeah, you see, if you listen to Paul very well, you will find that Paul actually will follow me. Are you with me? Right? So be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Yeah. You know, if you trace back to the beginning of Paul's ministry, right? He didn't start from the blues. Right, Paul didn't start from the blues. Paul will be found in the synagogue. Paul will be found, you would have a brother Ananias. Is a brother Ananias this time around? Yeah, who will come lay hands on him. You know, that's Ananias, that's Peter. What's the name of the, is it? I just skipped that name, right? So you have that template of Jesus, Paul finding himself as well in association with the disciples who follow Jesus, right? Peter, in the real sense, will have conversation with Paul and they will have an interaction. Yes, so in the real sense, you will see that Paul will say, be ye followers of me. If you go back to chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let me show you something quickly in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Right? So Paul will sit with the Corinthians as his sons in the faith, in the real sense, because he is responsible for their doctrinal persuasions. That's just, you see, and in the real sense, they are those who will serve with him in the gospel as well. Right? So verse 15 now says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Are we together? So that's a clear-cut conversation, right? He says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So so it means that, you see, when he talked about Timothy being his son, he said Timothy served with him in the gospel. When he speaks to Corinthians and says you are my sons, he says I have begotten you in the gospel. So how sonship and fatherhood and all those things are linked to the narrative of what is done with the gospel, right? It's not necessarily about who gives you money to buy a car, to buy a house. It's what is done on account of the gospel. So see what book of Paul, Paul will now tell you in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Look at what Paul says in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 4:16. Be ye followers of me. He says, be ye followers of me. I will together. It says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy. So Paul is trying to ensure that they are followers of Jesus, in that they are following him. You understand that? So how will Paul ensure that? Remember in Corinthians, one of the issues they had was some were saying that for Apollos, some were saying that for Paul. So there was division in the local church. Are we together? In the local church in Corinth. Right? So Paul would say, well, you can have many instructors. But see, in history shows that culturally at this point in time, Corinth was like a cosmopolitan city where lots of diverse cultures and doctrines and things were infiltrated into the church. Right, so Paul is trying to correct them. You know, he's saying, well, wherefore you have many 10,000 instructors, but yet you have not so many fathers. Yeah, so fatherhood, like I said, will be the one responsible for your doctrinal persuasions. all together. You understand that, right? So you would realize. So now one of the questions you must, now fatherhood is not only based on the one who makes you born again. Do you understand that, right? There are people in the real sense who make people born again. Think about it, right? In the real sense, yeah, for those of you who were Christians before you joined God's Palace, right, you were in a local church, right? It means that you were born again before you went to a local church, or you got born again in the previous local church. Are we together, right? So in the real sense, he's not trying to say that the person that gets you born again is what. No, Paul is saying that he's laboring over their lives and he's still laboring. So he labored over their lives and he's still laboring over their life in what? In the gospel. You get that, right? So he says, for this cause I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved son. So Paul is bold to say to the Philippians, I have a son called Timothy. He says, there is none like-minded. Are we together, right? So Timothy was reasoning at the frequency at which Paul was reasoning regarding the gospel. You get that, right? So it means there's an attitude of followership. There's an attitude of leadership altogether. So I took you through the story of the hireling in John 10. It's for a reason, right? But we don't just see the leadership part and forget about the followership part, okay? So I talked to you about the hireling, the good shepherd, you know, the stranger in John 10, you know, the thief, you know, we read that comes in, you know, that doesn't come in through the door. Then we went through Samuel and Saul and David's story. We saw the two kinds of leaders that possibly exist, right? We saw one who had fought battles and in the real sense had several spiritual supernatural encounters, you know, and in the real sense we take lessons from there and learn. But much more than that, there's a thing called followership, or following the leader who you are, you know, following accurately or following well. Are we together, right? So wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son. So Paul was confident to say clear that Timothy is my beloved son. What did he say about Timothy? He says Timothy is faithful. Okay, so he says Timothy is what? He called Timothy a faithful one. He says, my beloved son Timothy, he is faithful. Look at that carefully again. What did he say about Timothy? He says, Timothy is faithful. Look at that carefully again. He says, who is my beloved son, and he is faithful. So look at it. So it means that there's an extent of sonship that you will say is a faithful son. Are we together? There's an extent of sonship that you will say is a faithful son. That means Timothy was following well. Before you continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right? If you go all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3, 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Look at that carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I'm going to show you something carefully there, right? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. So I'm going to verse 6, but go through to verse 3. It says 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. See what it says there. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with inks, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stones, but in fleshly tables of the heart. It says, and such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Listen to what Paul now says. Who has also made us able. So our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Altogether, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Well, see, that able minister in the real sense is going to be a position of what the believer has received in Christ, who you are in Christ. So he has made you an able minister of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit, for letter clear and Spirit giveth light. Altogether, so God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. But much more than being an able minister is to be a faithful minister. Okay, so you've seen able minister, right? So go back to 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Where we were, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, rather, verse 14. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 4, look at verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. So what is Paul expecting the Corinthians to be? Faithful followers, okay? Right? Or faithful ministers, another way to say that, right? So he now says, for this cause have I sent you a faithful minister, my son Timothy. Yeah, so Timothy is an able minister and he is a faithful minister. So there's the able minister that is not a faithful minister. Do you understand that? So there's an able minister. There can be an able minister that is not a faithful minister, right? Remember, able minister will be, remember 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is in a new creature, all things have passed away, all things have become new. To which that God has in Christ, was in Christ, because reconciling the world back to himself. He has not given unto us a ministry of reconciliation. You see, that ministry of reconciliation, where we are able ministers of the New Testament, able ministers of the new creation. altogether. But Timothy is an example of one who is an able minister, yet a faithful minister. See what he says. So see what he says about Timothy. He says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Look at that carefully. He didn't just say of my ways. No, it is my ways which be in Christ. So when Paul says, be the followers of me as I follow Christ, it will be around to the degree in which he is following Christ. Do you understand that? Yeah. So to the degree in which he's following Christ. So it will be follow Paul to the degree in which he follows Christ. In the real sense, you will see that. And Paul will now say that Timothy is to bring to your remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Altogether, as I teach everywhere in every church, as I teach everywhere in every church, as I teach everywhere in every church. Are you following carefully? Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. Before you go to chapter 2, look at verse chapter 1 verse 6. Look at verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. He now says, and ye became followers of us altogether, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the what? Holy Ghost. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Asia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only to Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not talk anything. You see that, right? So there was an attitude of Thessalonians in their followership, such that their model, their example was being preached, right? Look at chapter 2 verse 14, where I actually to go to first of all. It says, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea. Ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own and countrymen, even as they have of the Jew. You understand that, right? If you look at Peter, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 verse 20. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. For what glory is it if ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, for us, living for us, and what? Example, that ye should follow his steps. So Christ will be an example that men follow his steps. So men in the real sense will follow the steps of Christ, and in following the steps of Christ, other men will follow their steps. Are you with me? So there's a thing called faithful servant. There's a thing called able servant. Are we together? Right? Timothy is an example of a faithful servant. Remember a couple weeks ago, we read in Judges, where we said, Judges chapter 18, you can go there later, Judges 18 verse 1, and Judges 21 verse 25, or Judges 17 verse 6, where we said that because there was no king, everyone did as they like, or they did what was right in their eyes. And we said that, in the real sense, God from time has already made a system on the earth, such that man is toward, that there's a structure of order in the local church, whereby man will lead other men, so that other men can lead other men. It's God's wisdom, God's strategy on the earth. Altogether. So in the real sense, it's God's method that there's a template in the church or in the local church to be followed. Altogether. So local church is not a place. So look at, let me say it differently. So local church is not about how you feel you want to follow. No, it's about how you should follow. Yeah, there's a biblical way to follow. There's a how I feel I want to follow. Now, some how I feel I want to follow might be biblical, but some might not or will not be biblical. Altogether. So you must understand that we must teach this attitude of the faithful and the faithful follower, right, from scriptures, such that we learn from it. We see the examples that we should be, the examples we should become. Altogether, look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 again. Let's look at Timothy again. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. If you go to 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. Look, if you go back to verse now, let's not get troublesome there. But so he has said some things from verse 4. Look at verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Sorry, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. See what it says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. So Paul is addressing those that will give heed to seducing spirits. Now, seducing spirits is not about those that wear miniskirts. No, seducing spirits is explained in that verse. And that don't mean you should wear miniskirts, right? So what he's saying is, he says seducing spirit will be a type of teaching. That's what he calls, he says, the doctrines of devils. Okay? So seducing spirit is going to be the doctrine. You see, when John will teach a revelation about Jezebel, he will teach about Jezebel as one who is seductive in teaching. Do you understand that? Right? Yeah. So when you look at Jezebel, the woman who you said destroyed men and everything, when John will teach it doctrinally, you will see that he will use Jezebel to teach about deception or seducing spirit based on teaching. You understand that? And not as much about short skirt, mini skirt, or opening of chest and all of those things. However, those are not, you know, appropriate for the believer. So he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, you know, says a couple of things there. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, and receive thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Look at verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. So he calls a general group of people a good minister. Altogether, a good minister. So there is the able minister, and the able minister is based on account of the position that God has given you, Christ Jesus, able minister of the New Testament. Then there is the faithful minister, there is the good minister. Do you understand that? The faithful minister will be, so the name faithful minister will be alluded to anyone based on their attitude of followership. Do you understand that? Or attitude of, or response to the labor or whatever they do with the gospel. So the faithful minister will be one that will be, on account of what they will do with the gospel, will be termed a faithful minister. The good minister will be one that is termed on account of what they do with the gospel. Paul will say, bring into remembrance these things. Are we together? He says, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, that sound doctrine, whereunto thou hast what attained. Look at verse 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. See what Paul is teaching. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself. What has been teaching from verse 1? He's teaching about doctrine, the type of doctrine, seducing spirit. Right? So if he says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So he's trying to say that old wise fables is a type of gift teaching that is not sound altogether. So if he now tells you in verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. He is not telling you gym is profitable, but he's not teaching gym. Altogether, Paul is not teaching gym at all. For bodily exercise profited little. So when your roommate or your flatmate or your neighbor or your whatever, your partner or your husband or whatever is going to the gym, and you say no, even the Bible says that, you know, bodily exercise, how is your gym exercise, is little. Yeah, let's do it. No, he's not teaching gym. He's not teaching walker. He's not teaching about marathon. He's not teaching pokaton or pakaton, anything you call it. All right, he's not teaching lifting weights. All right, so bodily exercise profited little. Right, this is in relation to he's teaching doctrine, but God, it what it tells you to exercise yourself unto godliness. So godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, so this is a faithful saying and worthy of what? All acceptation. Right? So in the real sense, who is a good minister? One who will bring to remembrance the word, sound doctrine, the teaching of the Lord, who will act and bring to remembrance. Are we together? So we have an able minister who is an able minister based on the ministry that's given by position, based on the New Testament, you know, new creation. And then there's the faithful minister, there's the good minister, which is actually seen by what is done. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let 1 Corinthians 4, 1, let me allow you to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us, right, as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Right, moreover, look at verse 2 carefully. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Right, so it's required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. All together. So this is the beginning of where Paul started talking about, before he now says Timothy is a faithful man, is a faithful son. Are we together? So it is required that a man be found faithful. I put it to you, dear saints, right? How faithful are you in following Jesus? How faithful are you in following the order in your local church? How faithful are you in being, you know, in being a believer? How faithful are you to the local church generally? How faithful are you? Right? How faithful are you? Something you think about. How faithful are you? How faithful are you? It's a question you need to ask yourself, right? Watch an able minister. The question is, how faithful are you? All together. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Look at verse 5. Colossians 4, 5. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Right? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Look at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and is a faithful minister. So Timothy is a faithful minister. Tychicus is a faithful minister. Do you understand? Right? So Paul teaches that Timothy was a faithful minister and Tychicus was as well a faithful minister. Are we together? Right? So they were both able ministers and they were both examples of faithful ministers. Are you following me carefully? Right? So all my states shall Tychicus, Colossians chapter 4 verse 7, all my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So Tychicus is a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. See what he says about Tychicus in verse 8. He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your heart. Right? Look at what it says about Onesimus in verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. It says, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Onesimus was faithful. You see, Paul did not make a mistake in declaring that the people he will send to other people are faithful. That means Paul did not have one faithful man, Timothy. Paul had Timothy who was faithful. Then he had Onesimus who became faithful. Then he had Tychicus who became faithful. You understand that? So the question is, are you one who your leader, your pastor, right, your mentor, your father can tell that you are faithful? Can he say of you that you are faithful? Are we together? Can he say of you that you are faithful? Right? Can your leader, can your model, can your mentor, can your disciple say of you that you are faithful? You see that? So there's Tychicus the faith. So Paul does not make it clear. He says you are a faithful minister. So we are able ministers. There's an example of faithful minister. Then there's an example of faithful minister or good minister. Are we together? Right? There's faithful minister. There's good minister who both by default are able ministers by the result of resurrection. You think about what I'm trying to teach you? Do you see that? Right? So look at verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Are we together? So you see this Marcus here? This Marcus here is actually John Mark. Altogether, right? Now, who is John Mark? See what he says about John Mark. Marcus John Mark is a sister son to Barnabas. So it means that Barnabas and John Mark are related. Did you see that? Did you see that, right? I don't know if I said it earlier in our previous series, but I mean, it's something that is worth noting. So when you see Barnabas and Paul separating their ways because of so you will not just say because Barnabas was related to Mark, that's why I wanted to go with Mark. Now, there are people in the real sense who your relative cannot be termed as faithful. Altogether, right? The only reason why you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is because they were faithful ministers. They were faithful. They were faithful prophets. They were those who were faithful in the call of the Lord. You understand that? So you said John Mark, Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he came unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Altogether. Right, look at verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. So when you say always laboring fervently for you in prayer, what is Paul describing? An example of a faithful minister. Do you understand that? So Epaphras was a faithful minister as well. You understand that? So Tychicus, a faithful minister, Onesimus, a faithful minister, Timothy, a faithful minister, right? Aristarchus, a faithful minister, right? Marcus, a faithful minister, right? Then Epaphras, a faithful minister. It says, he is always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So you see, one thing about Paul is something you must know, right? Paul is somebody who will pray for people. Then you will see other people pray for other people. Then when he tells them that you are being prayed for, he will tell you the prayer point that he's praying for you. Ephesians 1. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Right? So it tells you, I cease not to pray for you. I pray for you. Same thing in Colossians, same thing in Philemon. Right? I cease not to make mention of you, right? That the communication of your faith may be effectual. So Paul is a very lovely model when it comes to Christian faith. Right? So let's tell you that there's nothing wrong in you telling someone that I've prayed for you and this was my prayer for you. Are we together? Yes, that's Paul, right? Paul will say, well, look at it. There's a man called Epaphras. He is laboring fervently for you in prayer. This is his prayer. His prayer point is that he may stand perfect and complete the will of God. Look at verse 13. For I bear Epaphras' record that he had a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Right, he says, look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. Salute the brother which are Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Yeah, we start looking at the church in the house and everything. We're going to come back to the next few verses, but hold on first, right? So Paul will say, well, there's such a man called Onesimus that's faithful, such a man called, you know, Tychicus that's faithful. He's a beloved brother, a fellow servant, a laborer. All together, look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans 16:1. If you look at Romans chapter 16, verse 1, it says, I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. So Phoebe was a pastor, a female pastor, right, of the church of Cenchrea. You understand that, right? That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saint, and that ye assist her in whatever business she had need of you, for she had been a succorer of many and of myself also. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for their life laid down their own necks, right? So it means that when men are good, faithful followers, right, we speak about them. We mention them to others so others can know about their faithfulness. And you understand that, right? We speak about the faithfulness of men to others so that others can know about the faithfulness of men. You understand that? So it says, they've laid down their lives, they've laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, also greet the church that is in their house. That means Aquila and Priscilla were pastors of the church, and their church was in their house. We're together, right? Look, I told you on Sunday, a church in the house is not less of a church than the church where you gather where there's AC, and it's not less than a church than a church that than people who sit under a bench, under a tree. Are we together? Right? Salute my well-beloved Epanitos, right? Who is the first fruit of Asia unto Christ. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Right? Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, whom also were in Christ before me. Are we together, right? Greet Amphlias, my beloved Lord. Salute Urban, right? Our helper in Christ and Statues, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsmen. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, right? Which are the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Perseus, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus. So Paul had men. Are we together? See, dear saints, see, you ought to be like these men to Paul, to your pastor. You see, that is Bible teaching. Right, you see, be that one who is very committed, such that you attempt faithful. You know, I've taught you before, your faithfulness and commitment is not because you want to become a pastor, it's not because you want them to give leadership position, it's not because you want them to give you a sense of regard and oversight over others. No, you must see them as ends in themselves. Like I told you, right? They want to replace Judas in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1. And the first instruction they will say is that, who is that one that has been present from the baptism of Jesus by John? Who has been present? What are they really seeing? Who has been faithful, right? Acts 6, they want to pick deacons. They say, pick men who are faithful. Yeah, that's what they're teaching. Pick men who are of good report. That means they are faithful. You understand that? See, you must be like that one who is faithful. You are called to be faithful, right? You are called to be termed a faithful saint. So you are not just an able, you just treat things of God with levity. No, follow with your heart, follow with everything you have, right? And you would actually see that in the real sense, you are doing the will of the Father. Can you see how Paul used the full Romans 16 to write about the names of the men? See, be that man, be that woman, be that man. Paul will mention men and women alike, those who were following rigorously, right? You see, follow and you follow rigorously with all your heart. You see, when you see people talking about, I understand that people have taken some things extreme. One of the mistakes you must not make as saints is that you use another extreme to fight another extreme. You can't do that. You don't use an extreme to fight another extreme. You know, like I'll tell you before, yeah, it took me a while to do a series on giving for a very long time, for a while, because I felt very disgusted by the approach of giving that a lot of us as pastors have portrayed to the saints. But much more than that, giving is a Bible teaching, right? Yeah, so you cannot just go to an extreme where you say people don't give at all, yeah, because you want to teach against people that give seeds, or you know, you can't do that. You can't use one extreme to fight another extreme. Yeah, okay, yes, you went on social media, yes, you saw a pastor, right, giving people bacon to drink. Yeah, okay, yeah, well, is that the only pastor in the world? All right, you see that 50 million people do a practice, right, and as long as that practice is in scriptures, right, it is still a scriptural practice. I didn't say what they are doing that's a bad practice, scriptural practice. The practice, so when you think about followership, for instance, right, when you think about honor, yes, we have people who have taught honor to a very, very, very what you call extreme level. But away from that, there's the Bible honor. Do you understand? There's the Bible honor, right? We've seen people who have taught devotion to an extreme. You understand? But away from that, there's the biblical devotion, right? You see, men will be God's wisdom on the earth. You see, the way you need me as a man is the way I need you as a man. Yeah, and when I mean man, I mean male and female alike. Do you understand the point? The way you need me in your life is the way I need you, right? Because I will fulfill what God has placed in my hands by the faithful and good ministers around me. And when I say faithful and good ministers, I'm not saying faithful and good leaders. I'm saying faithful and good ministers. That is, people who are willing to labor effectively, right? Labor and give all their attention, all that is of them. Right, so look at Paul. We use an entire chapter to be calling names, and be referring to them as those who labor with him, those who are doing the work of labor. Why? Because Paul knows as well, he's not the only one sent to the entire world. I'm not the only one sent to Edinburgh, right? You are sent to Edinburgh. You are in Edinburgh for a purpose, for a reason at this phase in your life, right? And you will make it count. So how will you make it count? You give yourself to followership, right? Then you labor together with your pastor. You labor together with your church leaders. You labor together with other saints around you in bringing the will of the Father to the city of Edinburgh. Do you understand that? Right? So always ask yourself that question. Can my pastor, you know, some people, you know, I'm very thankful. I have some people who are, you know, for instance, especially in Nigerian church, for instance, right? And some of you as well who are in the UK church, right? Can you be dependable? Can you be reliable? Right? Can you be called in the middle of the night and say, let's go and preach to this person? Can we say, oh, this person is in the hospital, let's go and get her healed, or let's go and just visit? Can you be that kind of person? Right? Or you're that kind of person who, in the recent, before your pastor wants to even say something to you, he has to pray about it. Your pastor has to meditate on the word before he says something to correct you, or he wants to call on you. Are we together? Right? So are you one who can be dependable? Are you one who can be, you know, reliable? See, let me tell you something. In bringing effective ministerial oversight to the kingdom of God, or bringing it amongst men, or bringing it to the church of God, right, men need other men. Are we together? Like I said, as you need me, I need you always. I need you also. So it means that when you are following in God's palace, for instance, your attitude must be a sincere, straightforward, clean attitude. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So we have people in our world today right now who join local churches because they want to hear what is being said to go and tell other people. All together, right? They go to local church, like, I remember there was a friend I had like that, for instance, and over time there's been that consistency of, you know, always come to tell me something that's happening in the local church the person is attending. In my head, I'm like, what is your reason in that local church? If you have so much complaints like this, why don't you just leave the place? Why are you going there to say, this is how the pastor prayed today, this is how they arranged? And I'm like, what is that information doing to you? What will it do to me? So I had to scold the person. I stopped the person. See, don't tell me. If you don't have anything else to speak to me about, why? Because, you see, when it comes to the church, when it comes to local assembly, right, you must have that unflinching attitude, that devotion in followership, that consecration, right? So Paul will use Romans 16. You can see nothing less than 20 names, over 20 names. Over 20 names. Paul is listing 20 names of people who are committed. A full chapter, what you call chapter today. A full chapter. Are we together? So how committed are you to local church? How committed are you to local? Let me tell you something. See, it's not about I was a former minister, I was a former pastor, your local church. You are, see, you know, you see the word there, former, as I read the post a couple days ago, right? Yeah, I was an archbishop in my former. When you go to, see, if you're a leader in God's palace and for any reason you relocate, right? When you go to that local church, the attitude of servanthood must be what you portray. Are you with me? Right? The attitude of followership is what you portray. That's the attitude you must have. Once that becomes your local church, right? You it's not about, you know, if you think it's not close to the epistles enough, you look for another one. You look for another one. That's this. Like I always tell, that solution to a church you think is not good enough. Put together, right? So when you are in a local church, your attitude must be what you must observe. What exactly is trained? Like Paul will say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Are these templates taught in scriptures? Do we see clear-cut examples in scriptures? Are we together? So you must have that attitude in followership. You must have that attitude in consecration. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You know. You see, look at it. See, a faithful minister, for instance. Then look at it. Nobody can really control. Let me say, nobody can really control you. I'm not one of those people, for instance, who will say you can never, should never listen, don't ever hear anybody. No, because you know, everybody, we're adults, right? My goal as a pastor, in fact, somebody asked a question recently and asked, do I recommend churches for people to go to when they leave God's palace for any reason? And straightforward, right? We've had people in probably over 10 to 20 in the last over 4, 5, 6, 7 years, right? And not for once have I ever said that's the church you must go to anyone. Not for once. The closest to that has been somebody who reached out to me after months of not going to church and asking me, which church do I know? And I said, okay, I think I know this church, after months of not going to church. Yeah, but I don't know how to do all this. What is my assignment as your pastor? My assignment as your pastor is to teach you how to know how to find a local church. My assignment as your pastor is to teach you how to know how to sieve out doctrines, how to sieve out teachings. I go together, right? So that's where that oversight comes in, brother. But you know, if you got to find yourself in any part of the world, anywhere you are, your assignment is not to go there to go and be come and the moment you are in that place, altogether, right? No matter your position in God's palace, it is your former position, it was your previous position, right? So you must be one who, yes, you know you're an able minister, you must be seen as a faithful minister, right? There's the faithful minister, there's the good minister who is an able minister. You must have that approach, you must have that mindset. Are we together? So your commitment, your sincerity, your straightforwardness, your mind is what is happening in my local church. Are we together? Right? Are we together? What is the practice in my local church? What exactly is the practice? You have a brain, really, right? So you can know what exactly is the practice that is a way. It will say, if I come to church and I tell you that I need to spray big gun in your eye, you know I'm going extra. Are we together? Yeah, you know, if I say you need to go and eat grass, you know I'm going extra. Even though, you know, people that ask their members to eat grass and people that ask their members to spray big gun, they have biblical explanations for it. Rather than that, what I'm trying to say is, give your attention, your focus in following fully. Follow effectively. Now we're together, yeah? Follow, like I said, I need you in God's palace. I'm not one of those people who say, I don't need any of you. No. I need you in God's palace, and I need your commitment. I need your focus, yeah? Because the work God has given to me is something that is heavy. Then I need hands who will provide support. And we're together, then we'll do it together. Then you have a leader that is actually, that you are supporting, and you are all what? Bringing the will of the Father into the city. I want together. So your commitment, you must have that mindset. You must have that mindset. Like I would always say, your service in local church must be as an end in itself. I want together. You can be in a local church for 20 years and they don't think there was any position they could give you as a leader. What do? You remain a faithful servant. I want together, right? Matthias, you see, remember in Acts 1, right? And is it Justus or Joseph? What was his name, right? Two people who were following committedly from the baptism of Jesus. And much more than that, they remained consistent. You understand? And there was a point they needed just one leader to replace Judas. Just one leader to replace Judas. And nothing in scripture shows that because they didn't choose the other one, he decided not to follow it. No, they made a faithful servant. They made a committed servant. So the question I want to put to you today is, how committed are you to your local church? Are we together? How committed are you to your local church? How committed are you to your local church? So you need to wake up and ask yourself, because think about it this way. If your pastor is as committed as you are to your local church, are we together? You hear what I'm saying? If your pastor is as committed as you are to your local church, will the local church grow? Yeah. Yeah, imagine your pastor takes a local church conversation, you know, with a slant of lackadaisical, with a lackadaisical approach. Will you grow? So you must have that mindset that in the real sense, it is you come together with me, we come together, we build the church, because Jesus is in the business of building the people. Are we together? Then we're going to build the people in the local assembly who will bring in more people, who will disciple more people, get more people saved, and continue that way. You understand that? So there is such a thing called commitment and true, genuine, sincere service as an end in itself. Are we together? So there's some points I'll give you towards the end of this teaching, but you must take note of this thing I'm saying, and I know why I'm saying it. Are we together? See, man will be the method that God will use on the earth. You can't take it away. God has put that structure on the earth. Let's put that structure. Paul mentions over 20 names just to say, talk about people who are faithful, who are committed. The question is, can your pastor say of you that you are faithful? Can your pastor say of you that no matter what, I know that if I get to church this time, if I get to church this minute, I know that this person will be in church. I know that this person will be online. I know that this person, if I say, let's have a quick prayer meeting on Friday, let's come together and pray for 3 hours, right? Can you actually be one who your pastor will say, I know? So if I want to list names, can I call your name and say, this brother, so, this sister, I know no matter what, they will find a way to be there. See, that's the attitude Timothy would have had to service. Then Paul would say, he's my beloved son. He's my beloved son, right? And he's a faithful minister. Go back to Colossians 4 today. Go back to Colossians 4. Go to Colossians 4. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 4. All right, together. So you know, we started reading Colossians before. Then let's read again Colossians chapter 4. Go back to where we started reading from verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is my beloved brother and a faithful minister. So Tychicus was regarded as by Paul as a faithful minister in what? In the gospel, in the Lord. Look at verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now mind you, this Onesimus was the one who had an issue with Philemon. Remember that teaching? Right? You remember that teaching? Right? Philemon, the book of Philemon, remember I always say that the book of Philemon was delivered through the hands of Onesimus. Onesimus was one who was useless to Philemon. Then on his journey away from Philemon, he will meet the man Paul, and Paul will disciple him. And guess what will happen? After Paul discipled him, Paul will now call Onesimus a faithful servant. Let me tell you something. You were not faithful to yesterday, doesn't mean you cannot be faithful today. Do you get the point? So when you hear messages like this, the question is not, since I'm not faithful, let me just remain the way I am. No, it is that you can be faithful from this moment. Yes, you can. You can. You can be committed from this moment. Right? So Onesimus was one who, in fact, with the way it sounded, it looked as though Philemon did not want to have anything to do with the name Onesimus. But Paul would say, well, you know you owe me your life. Right? But so look at what Paul would say. Paul would say, well, you know, anything this man owes, you charge it to my name. That one, he uses it to wear the ground. And I say, well, anything you charge to my name, just don't forget that you owe me your life. See, do you know what it is for a minister to say you owe me your life? That's the extent of labor he has had over the life of that one. And it's not just the extent of labor he has had over the life of that one. It's also the extent of labor that one has received from him. Paul will say, you owe me your life. He says, take this Onesimus as a brother. Then Paul will now write to the Colossians and say, Onesimus is a faithful servant. Do you get the point? So you can see, every day is, you know, Ephesians 5 will say, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Every second, when you hear teaching, I don't say, you know, pastor, you know, I've started this year. You know, and that's why some of us actually, we don't change, because we think the year has gone far already. We think it's late. No, it's never too late. Never too late. Never too late. You see, the best time to build a tree, or the best time to plant a seed to get a tree, was 20 years ago. But the second best time was yesterday. The third best time is now. Yeah, it's now. It is now. It is now. You can be seen as an unfaithful from yesterday, right? And from today, you are faithful. Yes, 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 yes. Paul will say about Onesimus in verse 9. He says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. A faithful and beloved brother. Can I refer to you as a faithful and beloved brother? Can I refer to you as a faithful and beloved sister? Are we together? See, I'm not saying, can I refer to you as a leader, as faithful? I'm saying, as a saint in local church. Are we together? You see, can we want to do a special meeting, for instance, on a Saturday evening, for instance, for some reasons I'm sure that you will be there, right? It's about the labor in the gospel. It's about the labor in the gospel. Yes, so look at it. So people get very naughty in this kind of things because they can't say things that saying things like, what if your pastor does not work? And for instance, your pastor, you know, asks you to come to work on a Monday by 10 a.m. Well, see, you see, sometimes you need to be careful because the devil has a way of playing with your mind. Are we together? Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that when people start hearing some things, the first thing that comes to their mind are the extremes that possibly exist? The extremes. Let me tell you something. As long as humans exist on this earth, humans will take things to the extreme. Even the message of eternal life. Is that not how one of my brother that day, beloved brother too, I don't know if he's faithful, beloved brother that day was saying he is God. He's God. For the Bible says we are gods. It says God. The scriptures explain it as the Bible says, as ye, so I am in this world. I am God. God cannot do anything without taking. I'm in core relationship with God. Well, people will take things extreme. Are we together? People will take things extreme. There are people today who live a wretched life, right? A sinful life, just because they told them their sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. There were always people that take things extreme. But you, right, you should be seen as one who will be faithful and devout, right? Who will not say, because my sins are forgiven, I start stealing, I start sleeping around, I start doing ridiculous things because my sins are forgiven. No, you have to be seen as a faithful servant. Yeah, so don't allow the extreme that people take things to, you know, to get to you. So you must give your heart. So Paul will say, Onesimus is a faithful servant. Look at verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you, and Marcus, son of Barnabas, right? We said that already. Look at verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, right? If you go all the way to verse, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Now look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you? Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant in Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. So Epaphras is one of you altogether who's always laboring fervently in prayer. You see, can I say about you that Brother James is one who's always praying for the saints? I know that if I call a meeting to pray for the saints, Brother James will be there. Right? That's Epaphras for you. What is his prayer? That they stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Look at verse 13. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and them that of Laodicea. Now look at verse, go to verse 16. Now, look at what Paul says about the letter of Colossians. He says, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodicea. So he says, I'm sending this letter to be read in Colossae. When it is read among you, let this letter as well be read in Laodicea. So you can say Ephesians, Colossians, you can say Laodiceans. Yeah? Yeah? And the Laodiceans read the same letter to the Colossians. Okay? Alright? So he says, and that ye likewise read the epistles from Laodicea. So he's saying, I've written another letter to Laodicea. So we don't have the letter to Laodicea. Yeah? But Paul is saying, I wrote a letter to Laodicea. Right, I've written a letter to you, Colossians. When you finish reading your letter, make sure it is read among you. Number one, are we together? So it means that Paul had a practice of wanting the letters he writes to the church to be read in the open. So it means that when Paul says, for instance, one should be delivered unto Satan regarding the man who was sleeping with his father's wife, it's a letter that everybody will read and everybody will know. And you see, Paul is mentioning names. So Paul mentions them. Paul says, you see, look, beloved physician, Epaphras, a labors in prayer. Tychicus, a faithful minister. Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother. See what he says? He says, likewise, read the episode of Laodicea. Look at verse 17. And say to Archippus. So Paul is saying, let the church say to Archippus. Right? So he's saying the church collectively will say to Archippus. Are we together? But that same Archippus will be on the back and the instruction of the leaders and pastors in the church. You get the point, right? So say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Are we together? It says, take heed to the ministry. So it means that Paul did not just mention names of people who were fervent and faithful. He mentioned those who also abandoned ministry. Do you understand? So there is an example of Onesimus who was not in ministry. Then he will embrace ministry. Then he will become a faithful servant. Then there will be one who was once embracing ministry or had that sense of embrace. Yeah, he was embracing ministry. Actually, if you look at Philippians. Yeah, either Philippians 1 or Philippians 2. Or 5, yeah, Philippians 1 or 2. Right? Yeah. So it was one who embraced ministry. In fact, let me try to put it out for you. Right? If my eyes doesn't see it right now. If you look at Philippians, Philemon. Go to Philemon, sorry. Philemon. Look at Philemon. Philemon chapter 1 verse 2. Philemon chapter 1 verse 2. Look at Philemon chapter 1 verse 2. Look at Philemon. Philemon chapter 1 verse 1. Philemon 1:1. Philemon 1:1. Philemon 1:1. Philemon 1:1. Look at that carefully. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our beloved, our dearly beloved. And what did he call Philemon? He called Philemon a fellow laborer. Look how it says. And to our beloved Appia. So, Philemon, Appia, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thy house. So it means that Archippus was as well a pastor who had a church in his house. Are you with me? Right? Archippus was a pastor. He called. So for Paul to refer to you as fellow soldier, that means you labor together. So it means there can be Onesimus who was not faithful yesterday, but faithful today going forward. And there's Archippus who was faithful yesterday and not faithful today. Are we together? Are we together? So Paul will call Archippus. He says, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Are we together? Right? So Archippus, Appia, Philemon were laboring and they had a church. Are we together? So if we go back to, where were we? We go back to Philippians. Is it Philippians? Colossians. Sorry, go to Colossians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. I hope you're learning something today, right? God went to Colossians 4, and God went to verse 17. So he says to us, he says to the church, look at what he says. You see, Paul mentions the names of everybody. Then he says, read this epistle among you. Then read the letter from Laodicea. Then after he said that, he now said, say to Archippus. All together. It's not like he forgot to. It was intentional. So it means that Archippus should be an example to the Laodiceans and the Colossians as an instruction to those who have abandoned ministry. So he says, and said to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I say to you, dear brother, dear sister, listening to me, right? As one who would have abandoned. Now, what is abandoning ministry? Right? It shows in so many things. Are we together? It shows in so many things. It says, say to Archippus. So Archippus was one that used to pastor, then he stopped pastoring. Let me tell you something. The reason why Archippus would have stopped pastoring might have been legitimate. Yes, people are not coming. Yeah, people are not coming, or people are not giving, or we don't have money to pay for all, or there's no, yeah, but no matter what it is, Paul says to Archippus. He says to Archippus, take heed of the ministry which thou hast received. Do you understand? So Archippus, an able minister, you've been listening to me. So there's able minister, 2 Corinthians 3:6, right? 3:6 and 7. Then able minister is an account of your position in Christ. Then there's the faithful minister, there's the good minister. Are we together? You were one who used to pastor before you stopped pastoring. Are we together? Because you said people are not coming to church. Yeah, right, or everybody stop coming to church, remain one person. Like I told you before, and I've told you before, and I say it again and again and again and again. Faithfulness is not measured based on the result, so to say. Are we together? Yeah, no. See, that one disciple you have, be faithful with that person. Are we together? Right? That simple thing that you are giving to manage in the church, be faithful with it. Right? Your responsibility is to fix microphone or to fix battery in the microphone. Your responsibility is to fix the cable in the speaker. Be faithful in it. Be faithful. Be committed to it. Are we together? That's regarding the service. Right? We have evangelism. What happens? You are faithful. You are there. You show up. So Epaphras is a faithful minister. Then Archippus is one who an instruction was given to him. Take heed of the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord. Look at what Paul says in verse 18. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace with you. Amen. Right? If you look at in my Bible, he writes, written from Rome. So Paul was in the prison in Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. So Tychicus and Onesimus were the ones that delivered the letter to the Colossians. Are we together? You see how it makes sense why he mentioned their name earlier on as faithful servants. Are you with me? Right? See, it is only on account of the faithfulness of the ministers that Paul could send letters through their hands. Look at another example of one who is not faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Are we together? Right? See, what am I saying to you today? Stay there, stay committed. Stay faithful, stay committed. You are a leader today. You are not a leader today. Stay committed. Stay faithful. Stay committed. Stay faithful. You see, let service be an end in itself. You know, I told you on Sunday, right? If we are one, if we are 20, if we are 5,000, the same passion and energy in teaching is what I will have. Why? Because I would hold in high esteem and treat that one person as one, as a ministry God has placed in my hands. I will hold in high esteem. And I'll teach with commitment. Altogether, you see, the way I prepare for my Sunday services today, right, will not change in the next 10 years. It's really in the next 20 years. Altogether, I'm not saying that today because only 5 people are listening, only 10 people are listening, only 20 people, only 50 people are listening, right? And so by default, no matter what happens, I'll make sure that, you know, I take days and hours and months to prepare for my teachings. I take weeks to prepare for my teachings. Altogether, you are asked to lead prayer, for instance, you are asked to lead, you know, a teaching. For instance, you have to lead yourself. For instance, take heed of the ministry. Take heed of it. Be faithful. Be committed. Like I told you, right? We don't say we are only two in ourselves. No. Don't say because we are only two. If I don't come, they will. No. Don't let that be your attitude. Go to your cell meetings. Go for your meetings. You know, we saw that on Sunday. They met from house to house all across the book of Acts. Right, we saw that in the epistles as well. Right, be committed to your cell meetings, be committed to your following your cell leader, and be committed to following the leadership structure in the church. Be committed. Don't just choose to miss services, don't just choose to travel, don't just choose to disappear from the city, don't just choose to be away. No, be faithful, be committed. Are you one who I can call? Not I will call one day and I just say, oh, please, I want us to meet in church on Sunday morning, right? An hour before church, right? So we can spend time praying, right? Say, oh, pastor, I'm presently on my way to Lister. I'm presently boarding. No. Be a faithful, committed servant. All together. Right? You see, that's not to say that all your movement must be known by your pastor. No, that's not. I don't necessarily need to know your movement. But I need to know your movement that will affect your commitment, your service to local church. And altogether, you are planning to travel in August, right? You already have plans. You pay a ticket now. But you wait till the last Friday before August. You say, pastor, I just thought to inform you I'm not going to buy. No! Be faithful, be committed. If that's how everybody... if I, pastor, woke up that day to tell you that's how I will not just be in church, right? How will church feel? How will church move? Like I always ask you, if your pastor prays for you and he says, may you experience men like you in faithfulness, will you say amen? Answer that question in your heart. Will you say amen? Will you say amen? You see, if Paul prayed on Timothy and prayed to Timothy, prayed on Tychicus, prayed for Tychicus, prayed for Onesimus, I said, may you experience the gift of men like you. You see, I don't shout, amen! But if Paul prays for Archippus, he will just say, Or say, I say amen in my heart. I want to get that. Be that servant that is committed to following any local church. You see, one of the things you must understand about this series I'm teaching you is, and I've said it over and over, it's not just about God's palace. I've told you before, life is so interesting that a lot of us don't know where we'll be this time next year. Life is so interesting. As at 5 years ago, as at 10 years ago, I didn't see myself in Edinburgh. I didn't see it for any reason, not for any reason. But we're here. So it means that things will happen, things can take you out of city, no matter where you find. Remember, you have a pastor that has told you whenever you are in a local church, be committed there. Have your heart fixed on the things. Submit yourself to the instructions there. Submit yourself to the instructions there from the written word, from the word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Right, look how Paul says about another one in verse 10. Look at verse 9. He says, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. He's telling Timothy, who is a faithful son. Right, he says, for Demas has forsaken me. So, who is Demas? Demas is one who, for instance, was an example of a faithful minister. Did you read Colossians? Where did we read that? Is that Romans? Was it Romans we read that, or was it where did we read Demas just this afternoon? This evening, sorry, we read Demas. Look at Colossians 4:14. Look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. So it means that at the point when Paul would say Demas is sending his greetings, it means that Demas was in the real sense a fellow laborer with Paul. Look at Philemon 1:24. Look at Philemon 1:24. Philemon chapter 1, verse 23. Philemon 1:21. Look at Philemon 1:21. Look at what Paul says about Philemon. Philemon chapter 1, verse 21. Philemon chapter 1, verse 21. Philemon 1:21. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote unto you. So can your pastor say, I'm confident that you will do the word? I work together. Right? Can you be fighting with someone today and the issue gets to my table and I say, forgive him? And I can say, I know that if I tell him, if I tell her, forgive, he will do it, she will do it. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you. So it's on account. So Paul did not write a letter of probability. Paul said, I'm confident you will obey. That means I'm confident you will walk in love. I'm confident you will do the word. What a confidence. What a confidence. That means Philemon was a faithful servant as well. Can your pastor brag about that? Can your pastor brag about that? That is sure that no matter what happens, you will do the word. You will do the word. You will walk in the spirit. You will walk in love. You will live a righteous life. You will live a holy life. Can your pastor brag about that? It's all part of the Christian faith. So Paul is not saying, well, I'm sending this letter hoping that Philemon. Paul says, well, I know and I'm confident that you will obey the word. Look what Paul says. Paul now says, having confidence in their obedience, I wrote unto ye, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. Do more than I say. What a confidence. But without preparing me also a lodging. He says, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So Paul is saying, look at Paul. Paul says, I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So Paul is in the prison writing to Philemon. And he says, well, when it comes to the obedience of Philemon, I'm confident. Well, I trust that through your prayers I will be given unto you. He says, dear salute thee Epaphras. Who is Epaphras? We read in Colossians, Epaphras is the one who was given in prayer. What is the prayer point of Epaphras? That the Colossians will stand in the will stand perfect in the will of God. That means they will do the will of the Father. Right? So he says, salute Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. He says, salute Marcus, Aristarchus. We read all of this in Colossians. He says, salute Demas, Lucas, who are my fellow laborers. So Demas was a fellow laborer of Paul. Yeah, have you seen that now? Demas was a fellow laborer of God. Paul, so go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9. Do your diligence to come unto me shortly. For Demas has forsaken. That means Demas was like Archippus. Are we together? Who had a ministry and they placed down their ministry. Dear saints, why is it that when things get really interesting for you in life, why is it that when the storm rages, the first thing that you drop is ministry? Why is it? Why is it? Well, Paul says, Archippus, take heed. Take hold. Are we together? Right? See, you might be in a local church today and maybe your commitment to your previous local church was even more than your commitment to your local church now. Well, take heed. Don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball. Demas had forsaken. Look at the reason why Demas was forsaken. Having loved this present world, yeah? What are you pursuing? This present world. Your car, your house, your this, yeah, your office, your job, your anything. That's this present world. Yeah? Yes, so what I'm trying to say is that Demas now prioritizes those things. It doesn't, you know me as a pastor, eh? And you know what I do in my life, right? You know how busy I can get, right? I don't get busy only on terms of ministry. I get busy on terms of both ministry, both career, both family, other things. But much more than that, we don't drop the ball of ministry. He says, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved this plain world, and is departed on Thessalonica. He says, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. And bring him with me. Mark, remember our earlier teachings last month or 2 months ago. Who was John Mark? The one that caused division between Barnabas and Paul at first. Then came back to the Bible says he left, they departed from there. For whatever reason. Right? So John Mark John Mark can be one who was not committed yesterday but is committed today. John Mark can be one who was committed yesterday and is not committed today. But what happens to you as a saint when you hear these things? You keep reminding yourself. Look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him. Are we together? The Lord reward him. Are we together? So Demas was once an associate pastor, an associate leader. And all of a sudden, he forsook. Look at 1 John 2 verse 14. 1 John 2 verse 14. 1 John 2 verse 14. It says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, right, because ye are strong and the word of God abide in you and ye overcome the wicked one. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How it's together? How we're together? How we're together? Yes, you are saved forever. Yes, your sins are forgiven. You know, there are some people who decide to drop the ball of ministry because they are taught that their sins are forgiven forever. How we're together? Yeah, you know, I have a friend around me, you know, one of my friends who, you know, for instance, you know, when you talk about things about ministry around him, commitment and service around him, you say, we are all saved, Nabi. That's what matters. That's not the attitude of a believer. Attitude of a believer should be you want to strive and become better in your service to God, in your ministry. I want to get that. So I put it to you, dear saints, stay faithful, stay focused, keep growing. Stay focused. I told you on Wednesday, on Sunday, right? If your strength fails you in the day of adversity, in the day of evil, right? Your strength is. Look at Proverbs 24. We'll look at that more again on Sunday. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. Are we together? Your strength is small. Dear saints, build your strength, build your muscle. Like I told you on Sunday, you don't know when life will throw its challenges at you. You don't know where the raging storm will come through to the front of your door, or through your window, into your bedroom. You don't know when that will happen. But what happens? You stay building, you stay growing. Get yourself committed. Don't miss services. I don't see myself missing church because I'm going on holiday. I don't see myself missing church because, you know, I just want to go. Right? Because, you see, you must have the attitude of knowing that in the real sense, every service, two services are not the same. They're not. Yeah? Not two services are the same. Yeah? It is that practice of over-familiarity that makes you think two services are never the same. See, I've had encounters of people who will be in teachings, for instance, I'll be teaching, and they'll say, "Oh, Pastor, they never heard me teach this thing before." And I can tell you that there have been 15, I can count more than 15 services where I taught those things and they were there. No two services are the same. You can't be the one to assume which service will be a blessing to you or not. Altogether, right? So what do? I wrap myself around trying to make sure that my commitment, I mean, definitely there will be reasons and days beyond your imagination, right, that will make you not to be in church for any reason or whatsoever. But you don't be the one who is not, I told you, the one who, for instance, I want to search for your name, I search for sorry, sir. Sorry, pastor. Apologies, pastor. I will not be, or what I just said for, I will not be able to make it, your name will pop up. Your name is now become, I will not be able to, then your surname is make it. Yeah, don't be that one. Are we together? Don't be that one, right? Let me give you a few things you should keep, right, in helping your local church. I'll pay attention to it on Sunday again, but let me just give you a few things. I wrote down a few things that might be very important to you. Number one, and this is basically the summary, right, of what we've been teaching. Are we together? What we've been teaching over the past few months. Are we together? Right, a summary. Are we together? Of what we've been teaching. Local church in the last few months. Are we together? Number one, be in attendance. Make sure you're in attendance. Come for meetings. Don't miss meetings. Don't just miss meetings periodically. Don't just come casually. Come in attendance. You know, come for meetings rather. You know, come for meetings. Have that attitude of coming for meetings. Are we together? Yeah, if for any reason your bus was delayed, your train was delayed, where you're coming to church, you know, there's an attitude you come to church with. Are we together? Think about it. When you're running late to work, how do your heart is palpitating? Your heart is beating faster. Oh, you are having because of money. How much? They remove 1 day salary or 3 day salary because you came late. But because you think nobody is giving you salary in church, you just say, don't be that one who you are coming late to church and you are strolling. You know, don't be that one who you are coming to church. You are just bouncing. I'm moving one leg back, moving one leg forward. You're just bouncing. No. You must hold it in a very high esteem. If everyone acted like you, would there be a church? Would there be a solid church? Would there be a growing church? Would there be a thriving church? Number two, I said number one, be in attendance, come for me. Number two is come early. Yeah. A question you want to ask yourself: if everybody came the time I came, what will be done? How will church look like if everybody came the time I came? I was together. If everybody came to church the time I came to church, how would church look like? Just ask yourself that question. Right? Like I said, you don't do these things or ask yourself these things because you are not a leader. No. The goal is that you are a committed and faithful servant, a faithful minister. Everyone has been given a ministry, ministry of reconciliation. I was together. Number three, for any time and any period or any day or any meeting you'll be absent, inform your leaders. Right? Inform your leaders. Very important. right? Yeah, in the next few minutes, I'm so happy in the last few weeks, you know, I've been, you know, taking our time to just, you know, ponder a lot of things, and, you know, we're beginning to wrap our heads around how we can operate as a cell and build ourselves and build the church from ourselves, right? You know, you have cell leaders, then you have your pastor. Right, your pastor, your cell leader is one who is standing instead of your pastor on certain conversations. They are being trained as you are being trained as well, altogether. But you must give them that, you know, that privilege and, you know, that honor of informing them. Number four, right? Make yourself available. You see, they are number 1, 2, 3, 4. They are consistent. Right? Be in attendance. Come early for meetings. Inform your pastors if absent and you can't miss it for any reason. Inform your leaders. Number 4, be available. Are we together? Be available. Just be there. Do you remember Matthias and Justus? I think right in Acts chapter 1, they said, "Who has been available from the baptism of Jesus to this very day?" Just be available. You know, sometimes in the hospital, you have a doctor who is on a call. A doctor is on a call doesn't mean a doctor is always attending to one person at every point in time or is treating someone at every point in time. No. But the doctor is there. Just be there. Number 5, pray for your church, your pastor daily. In fact, let me say it differently. Pray for your pastor. So, who you pray for the most in the epistles is your pastor. Let me tell you something. See, you even need to pray for your pastor more than you pray for yourself. I've struggled to say that for years, but that's Bible. Yeah. When you see Paul giving instruction on the prayer for the churches, you see the number of prayer for their pastors, more than number of prayer for their saints. Yeah. And because if you don't keep praying for your pastor is the one, look at it, everything I've said today, you have submitted your heart to listen to what I'm saying. It means you need to pray for me that what I'm saying is Bible sense. Do you understand? So when it comes to doctrine, who do you pray for most as your pastor? I put it to you as your pastor. Yeah, is your pastor then other saints than yourself? So number 5, pray daily as much as you can daily. When you think about your pastor, right? You know, if it forms on you, you send a message. But much more than sending a message, right? You can pray, right? You know, you can inform your pastor and say, "Pastor, I just prayed for you, and you have strength." You know, like Paul, like I said earlier on, Paul will say, "Epaphras is praying for you, laboring." Have those moments. Oh, my cell leader, my pastor. Oh, pastor, you just came to my mind and I just prayed for you right now. And I trust God that you have strength, you have peace, you have his mind. Yeah, some of you do it. Altogether, it's a good practice, right? Because, mind you, it is what you hear from your pastor that will influence and is forming and shaping your heart and attitude and service in the Christian faith. Altogether. Number 6, pray for your pastor. So if number 5 is pray daily for your pastor, then your church, that is saints, then that is the church, for instance, by extension, then yourself. Right? Number 6, be committed to reaching out to the lost. Be committed to reaching out to the lost. Be committed to evangelism. Be committed to reaching out to the lost. All together. That's number 6. Number 7, right? I've done an extensive teaching on this, but I have some scriptures here, but I'm not going to go that because of today. I've done a teaching on it. Right? Give to your local assembly. And you give to your local assembly. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who doesn't have something to give. You know, the Bible will teach that wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Altogether. You can't say you are committed to the local church. You can't say you are faithful. Look at the Philippians being committed to Paul. They can't say they're committed to Paul and not send gifts to Paul. Altogether, right? So in the real sense, your commitment, another way your commitment shows is in your giving. You are coming, this church is my church, you've been there for 10 years, right? And you've not even given sacrificially. Yeah, so you give and give sacrificially. It's part of the way to, you know, help your local church. Now, number 8, be an example in your secular world. Be an example in your secular world. What I mean is be an example in your work, in your workplace, in your office, wherever you are. Be an example. Be a model. All together. You see, so you have a pastor, for instance, who shows you can labor in your career. So none of you can tell me I don't understand what it means to work in the office space. You can't tell me that, right? Because I do it alongside with you every Monday to Friday, right? So it means like, so when you see your pastor, so anytime you get tired of ministry or you get tired of ministry and combining with work, think of your pastor. Your pastor is doing it, and if he's doing it, it means that it can be done. Out together. You see, it's not a matter of complexity. Right? If you carry all your calendars and you put it, and you arrange your calendars, and you put it side by side with my calendar, your calendar cannot be close to my calendar. It's not possible. It cannot be. It's not possible. Out together. It's not possible. You understand? But even with that, I'm still committed. I see, I'm finishing this call by 8:30. I still have another call with a group of people from the next 10 minutes after this call. And I've been at work since 9 o'clock. I came to my office at 9 o'clock this morning and I sat down here most of the days. Barely took an hour break away. Altogether. And after work, what happened? I'm here teaching you again. After teaching you again, I'm still going to have another meeting that will last in 2 minutes into hours this evening. Yeah, so it means that if you think of your pastor, you think about the fact it can be done. You can walk in the secular and be committed in local assembly. You can. Last year, for instance, any part of last year, for the first half of last year, because of the office I was in, I was traveling almost every other week. But even in my travel, I was still teaching. I would go for meetings. I would travel. I'll be teaching. I didn't miss any service. Never late for any meeting. It's possible. You don't have any excuse. For every excuse you make, there's somebody else who is in a more difficult. I'm not the busiest human being on the earth, but I'm an example. I'm the closest example you can see face to face to show you that it's possible. Are we together? Right? So that's an example. So be an example in a secular world. Don't just allow a secular world suffer for ministry, right? Oh, why have you done the work? Because I went for 7 hours prayer. No, you can do 7 hours prayer and still finish the work. It's possible, right? Now, number 9, honor the saints. I'm going to take 2 minutes more of the time. So honor the saints. We've taught that over time, right? We looked at the story of Absalom, Ahithophel. We've taught it extensively, right? Honor the saints, right? Number 10, honor your leaders and submit to the leadership of your church. So there's honor the saints, then there's honor your leaders. Are we together? There's honor your pastor. Submit to the leadership of the church. Are we together? Submit to the authority of the church. Are we together? Submit to the leadership, the instructions according to the word from the church. Are we together? Right? Let it be said that, oh, God's Palace is making progress. God's Palace is growing. God's Palace services are going well because of Brother XYZ, because of Sister ABC, because of Sister BWK, right? Because of Brother YJZ, yeah? Let it be said of you that God's Palace is thriving and growing and getting strong because of your commitment to local church. Well, being a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Are we together? Take our time. This is the words again. Take our time and rest as well. See you on Saturday, then Sunday by extension. I love you all, Jerry. Cheers. Good night.